the miracle, or perhaps we might call it the miracle. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus himself, the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. That should tell us something right out of the gate. Something important is happening here. And it's a miracle of incredible proportion. A miracle having to do with something very ordinary. Food. In a day and an age where hunger was common and malnourishment and famine was one rain away, or lack thereof, to come to a place and be fed until you were full with an overabundance was a blessing and a privilege that few were able to enjoy. And Jesus performs this incredible miracle on a hillside, surrounded by crowds of people who have come to hear him speak. In John's Gospel, the version of the story we read today, it's close to Passover, John tells us. And the people have come out to hear Jesus, and when they become hungry, he turns to his disciples and says, "Well, what do you think you should give them?" And they're like, "You want us to do something? Well, gosh, a half a year's wages, 6 months' salary, 20 grand wouldn't be enough for these folks to even have a little bit." He's joking, right, Andrew? One, Andrew says, "Well, wait, we've got this boy's got a couple loaves of bread and some fish, but what is that among so many?" You got to admire the pragmatism of the disciples in this instance. They often don't get credited with much pragmatism in the Gospels, but in this case, they are spot on. This is an insurmountable task that Jesus has set before them. So Jesus performs a miracle. We're not given the details of how it came about, other than that he blesses this virtually nothing of a meal and feeds thousands with it, so that there are 12 baskets left over. Now this story is saturated with imagery and symbols and meaning from the Old Testament. But in particular, this episode from Jesus' life parallels and echoes very closely with that of the great prophet Elisha. Elisha, if you recall, was the successor to the even greater prophet Elijah. And if you look at Elisha's life and the ministry that he has in Israel, and you can read about it in 2 Kings, a lot of what happens and what is said and done by Elisha is parallel in Jesus' own life. In fact, we read a story just this morning from 2 Kings chapter 4, where what does Elisha do? There's a whole crowd of people. And somebody's like, "Well, I've got some bread." And he's like, "Well, give it to them." And they're like, "But there's so many." And to Jesus' audience and to the audience of the New Testament who knew their Old Testament well enough, they would have heard this story. They would have seen Jesus do this and be like, "This sounds familiar." But you see what Elisha did with 20 loaves and only 100 people, Jesus did with 5 loaves and 5,000 people. What should that tell us? That yes, the crowd's reaction was right. This is the prophet who was to come into the world. Yes, you are right. That not just any prophet, but one who is greater than Elisha, now stands in your midst. How often does the gospel try to tell us that, yes, the lawgiver, one who is greater than Moses, is in your midst. One who is greater than David is in your midst. And now one who is greater than Elijah and Elisha is in your midst. You better pay attention to what he's doing and saying. That is the miracle. That God not only cares deeply for the needs of his people when they are hungry, but in this account in the Gospels, God is trying to tell his people the significance of the man who stands before them. The miracle. The man. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man repeatedly in the Gospels. It's interesting that Elisha is referred to as the man of God in the Old Testament. And one who is greater than the man of God is here. And the people recognize that he is a prophet. The people, what do they want to do? They want to make him king. Well, surely that's the right response. Here's the prophet, he's come, let's make him a king. That's got to be the right thing to do. And Jesus says, why, yes it is. Where's the crown? Well, that's not what Jesus does at all, does he? What is Jesus' reaction to this, what would otherwise be, in our frame of thinking, an appropriate response? Jesus runs away. He goes back up the mountainside. It seems like an awfully strange thing for Jesus to do. Why would he do that? What does that say about this miracle? What it says is this, that Jesus was not to be crowned on the mountain of the feeding. Jesus was to be crowned on a different mountain. On the mountain of Calvary is where he received his crown. And it was on his terms, not theirs. Jesus is the man of God, the Son of God, and we are to come to him on his terms, not ours, however well-intended they may be. Jesus performs this miracle to get the people's attention. Yes, he feeds them because he cares, but there's more going on here than just that. Now here's your homework. Yes, I give you homework. Yes, we are people who read our Bibles, and not just on Sundays. If you read the rest of the story, what happens after the feeding? The people run after Jesus. And he tells them what's really going on. He says, you want to make me your king because you got a free meal. He says, but unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you shall not have life within you. The point of the feeding was to show them that they just didn't need more barley loaves. They needed to be led to the bread of life. They needed to see Jesus not as the giver of bread, but as the one who was himself the true bread. And that only by feeding on him and not the meals he handed out would they find life. And you know what the reaction was when Jesus told people that? They walked away. This was a hard teaching, and many left because of it. So that Jesus then will turn to his disciples and say, are you going to leave me now too? To which Peter says, where else are we going to go, Lord? You alone have the words of life. Jesus came not to give bread, but to be bread. He is the man of God who came to be crowned, not by a happy, well-fed mob, but to be crowned on a hill of Calvary. And it is through his death and his body broken that we then are truly fed by God's grace and made truly alive because we are now in him. And that is what it means to be fed by God. The bread of the feeding was intended to point to the bread of life. The man. The ministry. The miracle, the man, and the ministry. As Christians, we have ministry in this world to do, right? A calling, a purpose. What is it? Well, it begins with understanding what it means to be in Christ, with an understanding of the gospel, so that we might go and through the work God has given us to do to feed those in need. Right? God tells us that he cares for our physical needs. If you read in the other Gospels and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, look, your Father knows that you need to be clothed. He knows that you need to eat food. He said, but look at the lilies of the field. Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as these. He says, but what? Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. Right? And so when we, as a church, try to understand our ministry, like, for example, feeding those who are hungry, we don't do it just because it's a nice thing to do. Right? Because if that's the case, then Jesus becomes very optional. But if we understand who we are in Christ, that we are fed by his body and blood, that he is in us and we are in him, then all that we do flows from that reality, and all the ministry that we do flows from that reality, so that when we do feed the hungry, it's Jesus himself feeding them through us. And not just us being such nice people, right? There's a difference. In the former, Jesus is optional. In the latter, Jesus is necessary. And so as the church, as we look at our ministry and our ministries, whether they're of an outreach nature to feed the hungry, whether it's to form and disciple our children, as we're going to do this week with Vacation Bible School, we are doing it because we are in Christ, and he causes us to want to do these things. He equips us by his Spirit to do this ministry so that these children might know who Christ is and come to feed on him as the bread of life and not just think, wow, those are some great songs and some fun crafts. Right? Ministry that flows from the man and is based on and informed by this miracle. So that we who are in Christ understand which is the mountain of our redemption, Calvary, which is the mountain of our ministry, the bread of feeding, the mountain of feeding. So that all that we do as a church flows from being in Christ, being fed by Him, so that through us, Christ continues to minister to the world. Amen.